Okay, welcome back to Melachim Aleph. So we're learning the last Perek Chaf Beis. The end of the previous Perek is important because if you remember, at the very end of the Perek, so Achav is pretty much brought to his knees. Eliyahu comes and gives Achav some Shtarka Musar, a very strong Musar. we know Achav did things wrong with Navos and etc. He's devil. And at the very end, so Eliyahu gives him Musar, basically tells him, you're not gonna make it much longer. And at the very end, Achav does some sort of tshuva. It's not clear exactly how sincere he was or what the extent of his tshuva was. I saw in the article they quoted a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that brings a machlokas exactly how sincere and how serious his tshuva was. But he definitely did something because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Eliyahu HaNavi at the very end of Perek Chaf Aleph, "Haro'isa kinichna Achav milafanai." Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu testified to Eliyahu that he was nichna, that to some degree he subdued himself, he subjugated himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of that, he said, "I'm not going to take away everything in his lifetime. I'll wait until his the second generation." Okay, now we come to Perek Chaf Beis. Now, Perek Chaf Beis, we have to just review a little bit from Perek Chaf, all the way back in Perek Chaf. So, if you remember, back in Perek Chaf, many weeks ago, so we Perek Chaf discussed the conflict between Achav, King Achav, and Ben Hadad. If you remember, Ben Hadad, Ben Hadad was the king of Aram. And the Perek began over there that he gathered all of his troops, and he came to fight against to Shomron, to fight against Achav. And if you remember in the beginning, Achav when he sent messengers, Achav went along with his requests, and then Achav felt he was going too far. Whatever the case was, he wanted the Torah, whatever we discussed at the time, and Achav drew the line, and then. They and then there was a battle. Then there was a battle. Now, what's important is that in Pasuk Yud Gimel of Perek Chaf, so the Navi told us, "V'hinei Navi Yechad Nigash El Achav Melech Yisrael," that there was a Navi, unnamed, anonymous Navi who came to Achav, and he said, "Ko Amar Hashem, you see this great force of Ben Hadad? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about it. We're going to give them. You're going to be victorious, and everybody will know that that I am Hashem." Okay. So Achav goes to fight, and he beats Ben Hadad. He's victorious, and then we have, the Navi coming back. And he says, "Listen, Aram's gonna regroup and come back next year. Ben Hadad's gonna come back next year." And that's exactly what happened. And then again, they come. Ben Hadad comes back with Aram. Bnei Yisrael, get ready. And again, Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayigash Isho Elokim. This Navi comes back to Achav, and he tells him, "Ko Amar Hashem, don't worry about it. The king of Aram and its king, they're not good people. They speak badly about Hashem. Don't worry about it. Almost the same exact prophecy. Second time around, you'll also be successful." Fine. He beats Ben Hadad again. And then, at the very end of the Perek, we know Ben Hadad escapes into the city. And he's talking with his advisors, and they say, "You know what? Maybe let's go to Achav and beg for mercy. We're told that the kings of the Jews are merciful kings." And he goes and he begs for mercy. And he says, "Listen, all the cities that my father took from your father, I'll give them all back to you. We'll make a covenant. We'll make a peace treaty." And Achav says, "You know what? Sounds nice. Sounds good." And the Pasuk says that he sent him away. B'shalom, v'ani ba'bris ashalcheka, They make a covenant, they make a peace treaty, and Achav sends Ben Hadad back. Comes the Ishecham ibn Hanavim. He comes and he says, this is no good. And if you remember the whole story, he told somebody to hit him. The guy didn't want to hit him. He says, you didn't listen to the Dvar Hashem. You're going to be killed by the lion. The guy was killed. Killed another guy. The other guy did hit him, and he was injured. And then, this Navi dresses himself up. He disguises himself. He comes to greet Achav on the road, and he gives him this mashal. Somebody comes to me. They give me a person. They tell me, you watch him. If you don't watch him, you know, you're responsible. What do? He ran away. King says, it's your tough luck. You were responsible. So he takes off his disguise. He sees that he's a Navi. And he says, this is how the Perek ends, Perek Chav. Excuse me. By Yomar Elov, Komar Hashem Yan Shilach Tes Ish Chermi Miyad. You sent away Ben Hadad. You sent him. He curses him now. V'haysa nafshecha tachas nafsho v'amcha tachas amo. Your nefesh will be taken in place of his nefesh, your nation in place of his nation. Ayelech melech Yisrael albeiso sar v'zo'ev v'yavo shamrona. He comes, he's depressed, he's upset because of this prophecy. This is just a quick review of Perek Chav. The reason why we have to review that is because Perek Chav Beis is built on Perek Chav. So unless we have that story clear, we don't understand a lot of what's going on here. Now, comes the Navi in Perek Chav Beis and says, yes, very good. So we said last time, the Navi itself does not identify who this Navi was. The Mefarshim say that it was this Navi that we're going to talk about tonight. His name, not Micha, but his name was Michyahu. Michyahu. That's his name. That's how you pronounce it, according to the Nekudos. I don't know, the article translates it some funny way, but Michyahu. Okay. Pasuk Aleph. Here we go. Perikha based Pasuk Aleph. Yeshu Shalosh Shanim Ein Milchama Bein Aram Uvein Yisrael. For 3 years, Mesudas Tavit says that means 3 years after Achav sent Ben Hadad away, there were 3 years of peace. Remember, there was a peace treaty. Ben Hadad was also beaten twice, so he didn't want to be beaten again. 3 years there was peace. So what happens after 3 years? Pasuk Beis, Ahiba Shana Ashlishis, Vayirid Yehoshavat Melech Yehuda, El Melech Yisrael. It was after these 3 years, Yehoshavat, who was the Melech Yehuda, Mefarshim say he was a righteous person, he was a tzaddik. We'll see that it's not going to be a good thing. He's going to join ranks, so to speak, with Achav, who we know is the wicked king. So this won't be so good for him. But right now he's a righteous person. And he says, he comes to the Melech Yehuda. I'm sorry. He comes to the Melech Yisrael, to Achav. By Yomer Melech Yisrael El Avodav. By the way, the Mefarshim also point out, they quote a Rashi back from Perek Tes Zion, which I do not remember, but Rashi says that they were brothers-in-law, actually. Yehoshaphat, actually now I'm actually remembering it a little bit, Yehoshaphat was married to Achav's sister. If I'm not mistaken, I think that was a relationship. Yehoshaphat was married to Achav's sister, so they were mishpacha. I think Yehoshaphat's son also married Achav's daughter, so they were also mechutanim. You know, brothers-in-law, Mechutanim. And so there was a kesher there between them. And Hayom Melech Yisrael al Avadav. So the Melech Yisrael, Achav, says to the Avadim of Yehoshaphat, these are Yehoshaphat's Avadim that he's talking to. And he says, I think that's how the Mefarshim understand it. Let me just double check that. I think so. Yeah. Okay. Hayidatem Kilonu Ramos Gilad. Do you know that this place, this town called Ramos Gilad, was ours? That was our town. That was our city. Vanachnu Machshim Mikachaso Samiyad Melech Aram. But now it's ruled by Melech Aram. And we are Machshim. Rashi says that means we're lazy. We just left it by them. We didn't come and get it. It's our city. So we should really now go and fight Aram to get this city back. Okay? Now, Ramos Gilad is a city in the Shevet, in the area of Shevet Gad, which is Me'ever LaYarden, on the eastern side of the Yarden, in what is today presently Jordan. I looked it up also on that website to see exactly where it is. Okay, so it's kind of like parallel to the northern part of Israel, just head east, and it's over there, in Jordan, modern day Jordan, I should say. But this was a Jewish city, and this Jewish city was taken by Aram and is now being ruled by Aram. And Achav says, "We need the city. This is our city. We should get the city back." And they're not giving it back. Let's go fight them for it. Now, right away, the Radak says, one second, what's going on over here? Number one, what happened to the treaty? At the end of Perek Chaf, we had this whole treaty that Ben-Hadad promised Achav, I'll give you back all the cities that we took. All the cities that my father took from your father, we'll give them back to you, right? So what happened to this city?
Beforehand.
Very good. So that's what the Radak suggests. The Radak says that maybe this was really taken much earlier. This was not a city that was taken by Ben-Hadad's father from Achav's father. This was taken earlier than that, and therefore this was kind of grandfathered in. It was grandfathered in. Now he says that presumably Achav kind of assumed that Ben-Hadad would give this city back also. Ben-Hadad, so therefore he didn't mention it. He didn't say anything about Ramos Gilad. Ben-Hadad did not give it back. That was not included in one of the cities that Ben-Hadad gave back. So, for the time being, Achav didn't want to fight him for it because they had just made this treaty. But now, it's 3 years later, he's trying to test out to see if he can get this alliance with Melech Yehuda. And he figures, you know what, if I can go with Melech Yehuda, we can join forces and go capture the city back, then I think we should do it. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer el Yehoshaphat, haseleich iti lamilchama Ramos Gilad. So he says to Yehoshaphat, will you come with me? Will you come with me to fight and conquer Ramos Gilad? Vayomer Yehoshaphat el Melech Yisrael, kamoni kamocha, ke'ami ke'amecha, kesusi kesusecha. Amen. Right? Where you go, I go. Almost sounds like Rus, like Rus and Naomi. Right? I'm like you. If you're going, I'm going. My nation's like you. My army's like you. If you send your army, your troops, I'm sending my troops. My horses, your horses. We're in. I'm in with you. Okay? Now, Yehoshaphat says, though, but there's one little catch here. Now, remember, they're brothers-in-law. They're not exactly on the same page in terms of frumkeit. Right? Yehoshaphat is Melech Yehuda. He's a frum king. In fact, I saw the art scroll quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that even compares Yehoshaphat to David. He was a frum guy. He was a frum king. His brother-in-law, not so frum. Baal, Asherah, right? Izebel, all sorts of problems we've had with Achav over these last couple of prakim. So he says, listen, I'm happy to create this alliance with you, right? We're going to conquer a Jewish city from the hands of the Goyim, from the hands of Aram. 100%. I'm in. I'm in with you. But, Vayomer Yehoshaphat HaMelech Yisrael, Pasuk Hey, Deroshna Chayom Es Devar Hashem. You want to go to war? The way we go to war is that first we ask if this is a good idea. If we ask if this is what Hashem wants. So I don't know if you usually do that. That's how the Mitzudas Tavit explains it. I'm not sure if you usually consult, Hashem or the Nevi'im before you go to war, but that's the way we do it. So I'm happy to join you, but this is my condition. We got to ask Rishus. We got to ask, the Nevi'im, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is the right thing to do right now. Okay. So Achav says, okay, I can handle that. Now remember, Achav has an agenda. So he can ask, but he knows what he wants to hear. Pasuk Vav. Vayigbots Melech Yisrael es HaNevi'im ke'arba me'os ish. So he gathers the Nevi'im, 400 Nevi'im. Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, ha'eleich el Ramos Gilad la'milchama im echdo. What should I do? Should I go fight and conquer Ramos Gilad, or should I not? Vayomru, and they say, Ale, go up, do it. Vayitain Hashem biyad hamelech. And Hashem will give you victory. Hashem will give you victory. Okay? Now, the Mitzudas David here says that these were not actual Nevi'im. These were not real Nevi'im. These were Nevi'ei Habal. These were Nevi'e Habal. Okay? So there's two ways of learning this. Right? You look in the art scroll, they discuss these two opinions in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer and how you have to learn this. So if you say that Achav did not really do such sincere tshuva, he was patched by Eliyahu. So he went home, you know, Avil v'chafui Rosh. You know, he went home embarrassed and upset. He got over it. He got over it. And he went back to his wicked ways. And when his brother-in-law said, listen, we got to ask the Nevi'im. He said, no problem. I got plenty of Nevi'im. Hey, guys. Right? And he calls the Nevi'e Habal, his Nevi'e Habal, that were still around. And the Mepharshim also point out, even though we just had Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, who killed all the Nevi'e Habal, but he says either some of them escaped, some of them survived, right? Or, you know, maybe these were new recruits. Maybe these were new recruits after Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel. But either way, these were Nevi'e Habal, and he's getting them, they're not real Nevi'im, he's getting them essentially to go along with his plan. Whatever he wants, that's what they're going to say. And says Mitzudas David, that's why they threw in there the Shem Hashem. V'yitain Hashem v'yad HaMelech. V'yitain Hashem v'yad HaMelech. Okay? They're throwing in the Shem Hashem to sound frum. Right? They're really Nevi'e Habal. They don't care about Hashem. They're Nevi'e Habal. But they're throwing in Hashem because they know that's what Yehoshaphat wants to hear. Okay? Now, the Malbim also says here that this is not the normal way that real Nevi'im speak. Real Nevi'im use the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei. These Nevi'im used Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, right, which is not the Shem that normal, that regular Nevi'im use. And therefore, that was also an indication that these were not real Nevi'im. That these were not real Nevi'im. There were more than one. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. There were more than one, but and there were also, we learned there were Bnei Nevi'im. There were people that were, right? Okay, I hear what you're saying. Maybe that's like a little bit of a red flag, right? But there were like yeshivos, like we learned about with Shmuel. You remember he went to, he went to learn. By the Nevi'im, there were yeshivos, so to speak, of Nevi'im in training. So maybe this was a big yeshiva, they had Nevi'im in training. But I hear what you're saying. It does seem to be a little bit of a red flag. Urim v'tumim. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure if it was like up and running. I'm not sure. We haven't learned about a Kohen Gadol recently. I'm not sure if we know what was going on. Yehuda, yeah. Yeah. Well, he's about to say something. Yeah, he realizes that there's some fishy business going on here. So let's see, Pasuk Vav. By Yomer Yehoshaphat. Ha'ein po navi la'Hashem od. This is all you got? These 400 guys? Right? You have no other navi Hashem? Let's try to find somebody else. Right? He sees that these are not legitimate. Also, the Mepharshim say here, they quote the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that that there was a Mesorah that two Nevi'im do not prophesy using the same language. Every Navi has his own flair, has his own style. So even though they might be giving the same message from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but how they say it over is different. Here you had 400 Nevi'im all saying the same exact line. Alei v'yitein Hashem b'yad HaMelech. All 400 Nevi'im said the same thing. So Yehoshaphat scratches his head. He says, wait a minute, this can't be real. Right, these guys can't be real. Obviously, these are false Nevi'im. Okay, now it's interesting. He did not specifically or explicitly accuse them of being false Nevi'im. He says this in a very roundabout way. You know, maybe we could find another Navi, right? He says in like a polite way. So the Radak says that was out of respect for Achav. He was his brother-in-law. He had, he didn't want to like embarrass him. So he had respect for him. So he said, maybe we could find another Navi. Another Navi to ask.
reason doesn't say, you know, say the king's name and uses Melech Yisrael?
He keeps saying Melech Yisrael. Good question. Yeah, good question. I don't know. I was thinking about that.
Recognition or the...
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Right. Right, 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 yeah. But here Yehoshaphat realizes. Yeah, yeah. Here Yehoshaphat realizes. Okay. And Sudas David also says that, you know, that implicit in Yehoshaphat's question here is, wait a minute, didn't Izebel kill all the Nevi'im? So where'd you come up with these 400 Nevi'im? Right? If Izebel killed them, there shouldn't be 400 Nevi'im. You want to tell me one or two of them escaped, fine, but 400, you know, that seems to be a lot. Okay, Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Melech Yisrael El Yehoshaphat, Od Yishechad Lidroshes Hashem, Meoso. He says, you know, there's one other guy, there's one other Navi that we can ask, but Vani Sinesiv, I hate this guy. I hate this Navi. Why? Ki Lo Yisnabe Olai Tov, Ki Imra. He never gives me a good Nevuah. He always gives me bad Nevuahs. Who is them? Who is he? Michayu ben Yimla. He's Michayu ben Yimla. Vayomer Yehoshaphat al Yomar HaMelech Kein. He says, whoa, you can't say such a thing about a Navi, right? So Achav says, you know, there's this one guy, Michayu. I really don't like the guy. He's always giving bad Nevuahs to me, right? And Yehoshaphat says, you can't say that. Now, why can't you say that? Because in reality, if he's a real Navi, Navi Hashem, what do you mean he gives bad Nevuahs? It's not like, you know, it's not like a Navi says whatever he wants. A Navi is saying what Hashem told him to say. So if he's giving you a bad Nevuah, that's coming from Hashem. So what are you getting all bent out of shape about? Right? It's not coming from him. It's coming from Hashem. He's a real Navi. So what are you upset? What are you getting upset at him for? Now, it's interesting. The Radak says that if you look back at Perek Chaf, where Michayu did give his Nevuah to Achav, it wasn't all bad. In fact, there were three Nevuos in Perek Chaf. Two of them were good. It was one that was bad, right? That was at the end. The last one was bad. The first two, you're going to be victorious. Go fight against Aram. You're going to win. The last one was you let Ben-Hadad go. You know, you're going to get killed. So the Radak seems to say, okay, but he remembered the last one. The last one, that was the patch. That was the one that hurt, and that's the one that he remembers. Also, keep in mind, he has an agenda, and he wants to be successful here. He wants to fight against Ben-Hadad, and he's worried. You know, Michayu didn't leave me with a good taste, you know, the last time. I'm not sure that I want to ask him this time, you know, what I should do. Pasuk Tes. Vayikra Melech Yisrael al Saris Echad Vayomer Mahara Michayu Ben Yimla. But okay, listen, my brother-in-law wants to ask him. He doesn't want to ask these 400. I have no choice. So he sends his messenger, go quickly and bring Michayu ben Yimla here so we can ask his opinion. Umelech Yisrael pasuk yud v'Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda yoshvim ish al kiso milubashim begodim begoren pesach shar shomron v'chol anaviyim misnabim lifnehem. So they're waiting for Michayu to show up. So the two of them are hanging out. They're hanging out and they're sitting together. Ish al kiso, each one on his throne. Milubashim begadim, and the Mefarshim say, "What do you mean milubashim begadim?" As opposed to what? Of course, they're wearing begadim, right? So the Mefarshim say this means that they were wearing their royal clothing. Obviously, they're wearing clothing, but it means they're wearing the royal clothing. They're both sitting with the royal clothing. Now, where are they sitting? Begoren. They're sitting in the goren, the granary. Now, the Radak gives two different interpretations of this. Either you could say that they were really sitting in a goren. Now, Goren is like a threshing floor, a granary, whatever you call it. Why would they be sitting there? So apparently, it was like a nice, shady, cool place to sit. So it was hot and sunny, so they found this, these were shady places where they could sit. And why was the Pesach Shar Shomron? Interesting. So the Radak says, because even though normally normally these granaries and threshing floors were further out of the city. They were outside of the city limits. But here, it was right at the gate, at the entrance to Shomron. Because of the fighting with Aram, the kings were nervous to be too far from the fortified city. So this way, they would make the granary right outside the walls. They would go there. If there was any threat, they would run back into the city and protect themselves in the walls of the city. In the previous perek, saying he changed. He changed out of his... Okay. Interesting. I didn't think of that. It's interesting. That's something I was suggesting, that maybe he was, at the end of the last perek, he was doing tshuva, and now we see he's back. He's back to his royal clothing. You know, kind of with that, going with that opinion that his tshuva was not so sincere or didn't last that long. Right? Okay. Nice. I like it. Okay, and the Nevi'im, these Nevi'im that are here, the 400 Nevi'im, they keep telling him, no, it's a good idea, you can go. By the way, I'm sorry, the other pshat in the Radach is that we're not talking about an actual Goren here, but he says that they were sitting, the way they sat was similar to the way the Goren was set up. It's just referring to the way that they sat facing each other. Pasuk Yud Aleph. It was like a semicircle type of, I guess. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayas lo Tzidkiyah ben Kena'anah. Okay, so Tzidkiyah ben Kena'anah, Mitzudas Tavit says he was one of the Nevi'ei Habal. He was one of these 400. Okay, he was not a real Navi. But he's trying to push his quote-unquote Nevuah. So what does he do? Vayas lo Tzidkiyah ben Kena'anah, Karne Barzel. He makes for himself a horns of iron. And he brings them, and as part of his nevuah, he says, "Vayomer ko amar Hashem," which, by the way, that's the normal expression of nevuah that a real navi uses, "Ko amar Hashem." So he wasn't a real navi, but he stole this expression because he knew that that was the real lashon of nevuah, "Ko amar Hashem." Be'ele tenagach es Aram ad kalosam. Use these horns to gore Aram until they're destroyed, until they're defeated. Now, obviously, this is not meant to be taken literally. You're not going to fight with these iron horns. But this was an image. This was a visual that he created, which apparently the Nevi'im used to do sometimes. They would create these visuals to express their Nevuah. And this was a visual that was expressing the Nevuah. Also because I saw that they quote here on the bottom of the art scroll, they quote another, one of the reasons why is because this references the... This references the psukim that describe Yosef as a shore. It describes Yosef as a shore, and it says that he comes from Ephraim, from Shevet Ephraim. So therefore, that's the connection between the Karnei Barzel, the shore. Yeah, Achav came from Shevet Ephraim. Obviously, he came from Yosef. He quotes the Abarbanel here on the bottom, and that's why he specifically chose the shore because that was the imagery of Shevet Yosef. Pasuk Yud Beis v'chol anaviim nibim kain leimor ale ramos kilod v'hatzlach v'nosan Hashem b'yad ha-melech. And all the Nevi'im keep saying the same thing. Go up, you're going to be fine. Hashem's going to allow you to be victorious. You're going to be fine. Pasuk Yud Gimel v'hamalach asher holach likro michayhu. So the messenger that was sent to go call michayhu, the Navi, to come. Diber elav leimor, he tells him, hineina divrei anaviim pe'echad. All the Nevi'im are saying the same thing. They're all saying this message to Achav that he should go and wage war with Aram. Do me a favor, give a good Nevuah here also. He's like telling Michayu, give a good Nevuah here. And this is what the king wants to hear. Pasuk Yudalid, Vayomer Michayu, That's not the way I work. Chai Hashem, ki es asher yomar Hashem elai oso adaber. Say, don't tell me what to do. I'm a Navi. Right? Whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu tells me, that's the message I'm going to give the king. I'm not going to be swayed by what you're saying, but these other quote unquote Nevi'im are saying. Whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu tells me, that's what I'm going to say. I'm a real Navi. I'm an actual Navi. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayavo el Hamelech vayomer Hamelech elov. So he approaches. He comes to the king. Achav greets him and he tells him, Michayu hanelech el Ramos Gilad lamilchama imnechta. What should we do? Same question. Should we go to Ramos Gilad and fight or not? Vayomer elov alei vehatzlach v'nasen Hashem biyad Hamelech. Go up and be successful, and Hashem will allow you to be victorious. Now, there's no Ko'amar Hashem here. Also, the language of Alei v'hatzlach is a strange language. It sounds like he's telling him, go up and be successful. He's not saying this is what Hashem said. So why is he saying this? Right? Well, what's Michayu saying here? So there's two pshatim in the Mefarshim here. Rashi says that this was a tefillah. It wasn't a nevuah. It was a tefillah. He's telling him, I know you want to go. Mitzvah Hashem, you should be matzliach. Right? Go. You should be matzliach. He was giving a tefillah that he should be matzliach in what he was about to do. The Radak quotes an understanding that he was making fun of him. He was mocking him. He was saying, yeah, go. Everything will be fine. Just like these Nevi'im are saying. You know? That he was mocking him, saying like, this is what you wanted to hear, right? Go, yeah, Hashem will give you, Hashem will allow you to be victorious, everything will be fine. It was a joke. And Yehoshaphat understood that, says the Radak. He understood that Michayu was not really being genuine here. Michayu was not being sincere. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayomer Elov HaMelech. So the king says to him, Ad kameh pa'omim ani mashbiyecha, asher lo sedaber elai rak emes b'shem Hashem. So he says, listen, I don't know. I know this is not a real nevuah. I don't know if you're joking with me. I don't know if you're giving me a bracha. Whatever you're saying, this is not what I want to hear. I don't want to hear a joke. I don't want to hear a bracha. I want to hear the MS. I want to hear the Dvar Hashem. Tell me exactly what Hashem says. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Here comes the nevuah. Yes.
So then isn't he concerned that this is how he's going to
die? Yes. Well, that's why he didn't want to bring Michayu to begin with.
Okay.
He didn't want Michayu here. He was forced to because Yehoshaphat wasn't happy with the 400 Nevi'ei Habal. He wants him to say what he wants him to say, but he's what is he going to do? He's got to ask him his opinion. So here's what he says: Vayomer Pasuk Yitzayin. Vayomer Ra'isi Es Kol Yisrael Nefotzim El Aharim Katzon Asher Ein Lohem Roeh. He says, my nevuah is the vision that I have. Is the Jewish people spread out on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. What's the imagery? Sheep without a shepherd? A nation without the king. A nation without the king. He doesn't say Ko'amar Hashem. That's true. But apparently the Ra'isi, that's he's saying really what he's saying. Vayomer Hashem, lo adonim lo eile, Yoshuvu ish leveso b'shalom. And Hashem said, Lo adonim le'ele. Lo adonim le'ele, they translate this here as, these have no masters. Again, right, these people are going to be without a master. Yoshuvu ish leveso b'shalom. Everyone will return home whole and in peace. That was the Nevuah. Now, what does that mean? That means that Achav is going to die. The rest of the people will survive, right? Your army is going to be just fine. Everybody will survive except for you, but you're going to die in this battle. Yehoshaphat seemingly will survive. Yehoshaphat will survive. Only Achav has this curse that he's going to die. Okay, now, what's interesting, so that's the imagery, that's the message here. The Mefarshim raised the question that if you remember back to the end of Perek Chaf, the curse that Michayu gave Achav last time said, Nafshecha, right, what was the Lashon at the end? Your Nefesh will be in place of his Nefesh, right? Nafshecha kenafsho. And it said, Nafsho tachas nafsho, ve'amcha tachas amo. And your nation will be in place of his nation. So what happened to that part? Right, he's telling him your people will be fine. What happened to Amcha Tachas Amo? What happened to that part of the curse? So the Radak says that maybe that came true in other wars, not in this war. That didn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen at exactly the same time. So this war, Achav's going to die. Everybody else will survive. In other wars, the rest of the soldiers will die. That's one suggestion that the Radak gives. Another one, Rashi says, remember when Michayu asked the fellows to hurt him, to punch him. First guy said no, and he got killed, right? The second guy, the Navi says, punched Michayu and wounded him. So he says that the little bit of blood that came out when Michayu was wounded served as a kapara for Klal Yisrael. When the Navi got hurt, that served us as a kapara for Klal Yisrael, and therefore Achav was going to die. But that part of the curse that Am Chotachas Amo, that was never going to come true because Klal Yisrael got a kapara because Michayu got injured. That's what he suggests. Now, this is also says the Radak. This is a wild statement to say that nobody is going to get hurt. I mean, it's a battle, right? It's a battle. Somebody's got to get hurt. So he says. It doesn't mean it's a guzma. It doesn't mean nobody will get hurt. It means most people will go back. Yeshuva Yishla Beisa B'Shalom. Most people won't get hurt. Meaning, relatively speaking, relative to the losses that Aram is going to suffer, the Jewish army is going to suffer very, very few losses. That's the idea. But not that nobody's going to get hurt. Unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, as we see, when there are wars, soldiers, Rachmana Litzlan soldiers die. Right? We hope the number is kept to a bare minimum. But soldiers are going to die when you go to war. So that's what the Radak suggests. Pasuk Yudches, Vayomer Melech Yisrael El Yehoshafat, Halo Amarti Elecha, I told you this was going to happen. Lo Yisnabe Olai Toki Imra, I told you. Right? Michayu, you know, gave me this bad report again. He gave me a bad nevuah. Okay? And says in the Tzudas David, what Achav is saying is that he's also a phony. This is not Dvar Hashem. This is his own personal agenda. The guy hates me, and that's why he's giving this bad nevuah. I knew this was going to happen. I told you this was going to happen. Pasuk Yutes, Vayomer Lachain Shema Devar Hashem, Ro'isi Es Hashem Yoshev Al Kiso, V'chol Tzva HaShamayim Omer Alav Mimino Umismolo. Okay, so he says, listen, Michayu says, listen. Let me try to convince you. He's going a little further with this nevuah. Let me try to convince you. And he says, Ra'isi es Hashem, Yoshev al kiso, I see Hashem sitting on his throne. And of course, this is the Radak says, this whole thing is a mashal. And Tzva Hashemayim, you have the malachim. Omer alav yimino mismoli, of the malachim to the right, malachim to the left. Now, what do they say? Okay, and basically the Mitzvah stuff, it says that, you know, let me explain to you what I'm seeing, and you make the decision yourself if this is real, if this is a real nevuah or not. Now, what's the right and the left? So Rashi quotes Chazal, there's no, Hashem doesn't have right and left. So what does that mean, the right and the left? So he says the right means the malachim that are on the defense, and the left is the prosecution. That's the idea. Not that there's no right and left by Hashem, obviously. Okay. Pasuk Chav, let's just finish off this nevuah, and then we'll stop for tonight. Okay, Pasuk Chav, Vayomer Hashem, Mi yifata es Achav, V'yal v'yipa v'ramos gilad. So Hashem is saying to his malachim, who's going to get Achav to come and go up to fight against Ramos Gilad? Vayomer, ze b'cho, v'ze omer b'cho. So what do they do? So this one says, I'm going to get him like this. Right, this malach says I'm going to get him to go up like this, and this one says I'm going to go and get him to go up like this. Each one is making different suggestions. And the spirit comes out and stands before Hashem. I got him. I'm going to get him to go up. So Hashem says to the malach, okay, how are you going to do this? How are you going to lure him? How are you going to get him up? He says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be a ruach sheker in the mouths of all of his Nevi'im. In the mouths of all of his Nevi'im. And what am I going to say? Vayomer tefate. And Hashem says, great, good plan. Go for it. Go do it. V'gam tuchal tzei v'asei chein, and you'll do it and you'll be successful. And go for it. The ata hinei nasan Hashem ruach sheker b'fi kol neviecha. He says that's what happened here. He says, all of your Nevi'im, this was all a Ruach Sheker. Right? What they came and said, this was all a Ruach Sheker. V'Hashem diber alecha ra'a. They all said, yeah, go, you'll be fine. Hashem is going to protect you, you'll win, you'll be fine. Sheker. It's a Ruach Sheker. The MS is, you're done. This is your game over. That's the MS here. V'yigash Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana. So Tzidkiyahu, remember Tzidkiyahu, he was this Nevi'e Habal, who gave the iron horns, and he was all gung-ho, go for it, kill him, gore them. And he comes, Vayake es Michayu al Alechi, and he punches Michayu in the cheek. Vayomer, Eize avaru Hashem eiti ledaber osach. And he says, the way they translate this, how is it that the spirit of Hashem passed from me to speak to you? Right? I'm a real Navi. Vayomer Michayu, hincha roe bayom ahu asher tovo cheder becheder leheichave. So he says, you'll see for yourself. You'll see for yourself one day when you're going to be hiding inside a cheder, becheder. Remember, that was how Achav hid, if you remember, right? That was how Achav hid. I'm sorry. That was how Ben-Hadad hid. Ben-Hadad hid from Achav. That was a cheder becheder. So he says, you're going to be hiding in the same way. Vayomer melech Yisrael, kachas michayu v'hashivehu el amon sar ha'ir. So Achav is furious with Michayu, and he says, lock him up. Return him, right? Apparently he was locked up in the past, right? Hashiveyu sounds like return him. It sounds like he was already imprisoned in the past. Imprison him, give him to Amon Sar Ha'ir. He's the one who's in charge of the city. Yoash ben Amelech. They're going to take care of him. They'll lock him up. V'yomarta, ko amar Amelech, simu es zebe sakele, throw him into jail. V'achiluhu lechem lachatz umayim lachatz. Give him the bare minimum to eat and drink. A little bit of bread and a little bit of water every day. Ad b'oiv shalom, until I come back from this war in peace, and then I'll deal with him. Okay, we're out of time for tonight, but in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see how this plays out. But you could see already, right, we learned at the beginning of the perek, at the end of last perek, but you see already this perek, things are not going well for Achav. Things are beginning to unravel, and the real Nevi'im are coming and telling him, listen, this is how it's going to end. And Amir Hashem, we'll see what happens. We'll finish off the Perek and the Sefer Amir Hashem next week. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.